You're tuned in to TPE Network, fun yet informative podcasts.
Welcome to TV and Movie Reviews, TPE Network's movie and TV reviews podcast. We cover all of the biggest TV shows and movies, with the exception of what's covered on Mouse House Plus and the Mandalorian Fan Podcast. I am Mel, and I'm joined by John. Hello, John.
Hey, everybody.
Today, we're going to cover Thor 4, or Thor Love and Thunder, if you will. So let's hop right into it.
All right, man.
Whenever someone says Thor Love and Thunder, John, what's the first thing that pops in your mind now?
Well, that little girl shooting laser beams at things. That's pretty much it for me. I didn't really know what they were getting at with this entire title in the first place. I just thought they're trying to be like all rock and cool. And I guess they kind of were trying to go for that, but I don't know. Little girl laser beams. Yep. That's what I'm going to go with.
Unfortunately, the first thing I thought before I saw the movie was that this was going to be as Guardians of the Galaxy. And that's not what we got at all. So this whole time I kept thinking, okay, we know from the end of Endgame that Thor is going to be with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, that little meme you see about this isn't going to be Thor Part 4. This is going to be as Guardians of the Galaxy. And we got that for maybe, 5-10 minutes?
Oh, and I love how they just bolted like that. They're just like, okay, time to go. Bye.
Yeah, it was. They just hopped right into this being just a Thor movie. So I was wrong on that assumption.
Yep.
Did you get spoiled on anything before you saw the movie, or you kind of went in fresh?
No, I actually went in fresh. I didn't know that we were going to be dealing with specific gods that we were with. Outside of what you saw through the trailer. So, I tried to stay away from it. The other thing, too, is that, you know, since everyone was talking so much, you know, that it basically this movie was nothing but dog ass, that I really wasn't interested in trying to find more information on it in the first place. So, yeah, I more or less went into it fresh.
I did so as well. I thought that, my belief the last month before any movie's released, they give out one last trailer, an updated trailer, if you will. And that's the version that always spoils a little bit more. So I didn't even watch the latest trailer. So I went in as fresh as possible. So, at least there was no spoiling on that. And then moving right into your initial opinion. So halfway through the movie, how did you feel?
You know what? I was having fun with just how dumb the movie was being. So I can't say that it was definitely the last Thor movie was definitely better. But I think this is better than like the Dark World or even the first. Well, I can't really say it. The first Thor has got to be a staple because you got to have something to start with. But this was another one that was not trying to be completely serious with itself with a serious bad guy involved in it. So. I was entertained, if anything.
No, I thought the same thing. I think around a time when they visited the God world or the God planet or dimension, I guess, I thought, you know, this movie isn't bad. So, you know, we knew nothing was going to be like Thor Ragnarok. I mean, Thor Ragnarok, as far as the humor and just the, you know, Taika Waititi and everything he was doing, like, you know, that was just great. And so we knew it wasn't going to be that great. But it didn't drop off as much as it could have. And so around that time, I was still appreciating everything I saw. And I thought, you know, this is not this is not bad at all.
Well, and the thing is, they were giving us a lot of, like, you know, fun things in the Marvel Universe as well. I mean, dealing with Eternity, like that. I'll be honest, I was not expecting Eternity to be in it. I was waiting. I thought we would deal more with the Celestials than we would with Eternity. And whenever we only get to see them for, like, all of a split second when they're rolling out, I was actually, like, kind of, I don't want to say disappointed, but I was more impressed that they didn't go that route. And them leaving, like, you know, the character, like Eternity, you know, voiceless was a very good touch, because I know that there was a lot of people saying, well, it should have been Morgan Freeman. I'm like, yeah, because he's your staple, you know, God voice. But, you know, him just, you know, Eternity just not saying anything at all was just as good.
I agree. I thought that I appreciated the world building. I mean, it's the fourth Thor movie and pretty much the ninth or tenth appearance of Chris Hemsworth as the character, as that character. And we're still getting, you know, kind of new things. Like we're getting, you know, this stuff that we didn't know before. Like, you know, besides the fact that there's other gods, there's Zeus and what have you, you know, so it's a. You know, and then eternity. So, yeah, there's a lot more world building. Of course, then the next day, as soon as you introduce eternity, you say, well, why didn't they just go after her in Infinity War and Endgame? But that's neither here nor there.
Well, and that's one of those things where I don't even know if it's more like, I think, stories. I mean, they at least knew that the Infinity Stones were like a real thing. But I'm trying to do my going back and thinking, because I don't know if the Living Tribunal cannot not fight against the Infinity Stones. I know that. But the Living Tribunal is more or less the hand of eternity. So with that being said, I don't know if would have been more powerful, because eternity is more like a, like, I don't know, like a force of nature rather than a being. But I had this book a long time ago where I basically had breakdowns from like the early 90s of all these characters. Eternity was in there, and I am racking my brain right now to try and remember everything it said, and I can't remember it all. But it more or less made it seem like that the character was like, it was an omnipotent being, kind of like Q, but it didn't do anything. It was the, you know, everything. So it didn't have to do anything, because it that's not what it exists as. It's more of just the embodiment of everything.
Okay.
But that I could be wrong, because it's been a while since I've looked at that book.
Okay. So I, you know, there's we still have the New Asgard, and we have that setting. What did you think of New Asgard?
Well, I mean, I find it funny that they're using it as such a tourist trap now for everything. It was interesting because I remember like going all the way back to whenever Hank and I were predicting Infinity or Endgame or Infinity War, where we're trying to figure out what was going to happen with Mjolnir. And I remember him saying that, you know, taking pieces of Mjolnir and turning it into arrowheads. Or like, you know, some group like taking the pieces of Mjolnir and like selling it about. But, you know, coming to find out that Mjolnir just fell on the ground and then could never be moved at all to the point where they just had to dig up the ground and like, oh, we just put it on a pedestal because I can't do anything else with it. it helped, you know, like solidify that. So it really just kind of like put the nicks on everything that we were originally thinking.
So it's funny is you're talking about the tourist town, and I have seen a place like this, of course, not Asgardian, but there's a place in California called Solvang. And as you know, most of Southern California and to mid-California was originally Mexico, you know, centuries ago. And so this stands out because it's a town that was settled by Danish settlers. And so it stands out in California as just this Danish place in the middle of California. And so it's got windmills, it's got this whole, and so it's obviously a tourist trap. And so, you know, we come from all around and just kind of hang out there to get this, because for some of us, it's the closest we're ever going to get to that area. And so that's what it reminded me of, except for the I think there was a Infinity ice cream place. I forgot the name of the ice cream place that was kind of making light of what Thanos did with the blip. I thought that was a little tasteless.
Yeah. No, yeah. But at the same time, you're just seeing how they're trying to take the marketing off of anything and everything that they can.
I mean, they could easily just do a Baskin Robbins and call it a day. Like,
yeah,
you don't need go that route. Okay, so also, so we got to get back to Mjolnir. Mjolnir is, you know, of course, Jane's worthy, but here's the thing. Was she worthy, or was it just a matter of, you know, the hammer was looking out for her?
No, it was that. because I mean, when we see that, you know, like Thor having his one-on-one with Mjolnir, this is very interesting too, which I liked at least that they put this in here. It just shows that, you know, he even has the ability to imbine spells into to the items like that, just like how Odin was able to put, you know, holding the hammer would possess the powers of Thor. So we know that Jane is Jane more or less is worthy. She just never picked up the hammer. We never saw her try to pick up the hammer. It was always a Thor thing. But you know, when she shows up there, because you know, the spell that he put in Mjolnir is basically requesting her presence, or it wants to be there because it knows that she's dying, then it retroactively does, you know, the secondary job that it's supposed to do.
Because the argument is that for the people who say that Mjolnir just sensed that she was sick and this was the way to protect her, was because Mjolnir didn't change Captain America when he wielded it. And so those are the people who say, well, you know, it didn't change Captain America and he was worthy. It changed her to protect her.
All right, well, I got nothing then. I mean, they're just going off of the comic books, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you're even looking at to the point where, like, I know when they had a crossover, Wonder Woman picked it up, and then she became, like, you know, Thor, and then she was like, nah, I would abuse this power, and then she puts the hammer down. But, like, you know, but if you think about it, we also have, who was it? When Moon Knight was running around in the comics collecting all those weapons to fight, which I cannot remember who he was trying to fight, he had Mjolnir, and he didn't Thor out. So I don't know what the specifics about, you know, it's ruling on who it decides who to change into a Thor lookalike or not.
I agree. Okay, so we got to get into characters. You know, I apologize for jumping around. So, you know, Thor is Thor. What'd you think of Thor in this movie?
I mean, it's Chris Hemsworth, you know, just being silly as normal. If anything, I like the dynamics between Jane and Valkyrie. Or like whenever she shows up and Valkyrie's like, oh yeah, you're gonna like her.
I did appreciate the Jane and I like Thor as well, you know. Never have problems with Thor, but moving along to Jane and Valkyrie, you know, I didn't catch it the first time is that you know, they were together in a movie where they went into the other dimension where the guys didn't come out, so it was an all girls team. Now I'm blanking on the movie. I'll get back to it. But so this was the second movie they've kind of been together on, and I like their banter. So it was great to see those two together. And what about Korg?
I mean, always a favorite to have in there. And especially, you know, whenever like Zeus like guns him down, and then he's like, look, he's like, your only thing magical about me is me mouth. and then, you know, talking about how, like, you know, baby Korgs are made, and just the whole thing. That character just in general, just, you know, hysterical. I really enjoyed it. It would help. Like, it's funny because everyone is trying to be serious and he thinks he's being serious by saying what everyone is thinking, which makes it comical. So if they can just keep on bringing him back, I will be happy.
Yeah. It was good to see him. So it's good that you're not because I've seen online that some people say, oh, it was too much of him. You know, in the previous movie, he was, he was a lot. I mean, you didn't even see him until, the second or third act. But here he was from the start and he was narrating. So some people said it was too much. But I didn't have a problem with him either. I mean, I liked the character. And he's still comedic and he still has his comedic chops. So what can you do? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if anything, and I do not remember its name. I think that we needed more of the bug creature that was, their other sidekick that they had along with them. So, and we didn't get enough of that.
Yes. No, I definitely agree with that. I forgot the name too, but I think his name was Meek.
Yes, Meek. Yeah. Nope, you're right.
And Annihilation was the movie I was thinking about with Natalie Portman and Tessa Thompson.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, it was. So yeah, it was good to see them to get together again. So what about? So now we move to the villain. What'd you think of Christian Bale as the bad guy in this one?
Yeah, you know what? I kind of agree. I liked him. And I agreed with his motivations. I mean, he eventually runs into his god, and his god's like, you know, whatever with you. Yeah, and if anything, I mean, he played it, gore. He was creepy. It did all the fun effects. I mean, I thought he was a pretty solid character, and he had very basic goals that was like, you know, just destroy all gods. He didn't care how it got done. He was just going to do it. So why he didn't just go straight to the god planet? Oh, no. Didn't Zeus say something to the fact that, like, you know, he doesn't know where it is?
I think so, yes.
You know, whatever. But I think that he did a better job. I just wish he looked more comic accurate than what he was there. But if anything, I'd like to talk more about the Necro Sword, which is a huge thing in the Marvel universe, and we are just it got destroyed at the end, and it can't. It's like one of those things that just exist.
Huh. See, I'm not familiar with the sword, so I didn't.
Okay, so do you know that this last big arc that they had, where they had Null, the symbiote, the god of the symbiote, show up and basically encase the planet in a giant like symbiote bubble? He had control of like celestials and had these giant like symbiote dragons, and he was going around like capturing everyone and turning them into slaves.
No, I'm not.
Oh my god, it is a good series. That is his weapon that he wields. It's existed since the, which is funny because I had to like have this argue with my son. He's like, he can't. He's like, he's not as old as the Infinity Stones. I'm like, yeah, he's older. And they're like, the sword is older. And he's like, no, he's not. I'm like, it existed before there was light. If the stones were created by the Big Bang, it was there before that. That was where Null existed. Null has just always been there.
Okay.
And that was his weapon. And it gets introduced here, but then it comes back around in the comic books. And it's just an item that it's an omnipotent item. Yeah, it's partially alive, but it's the embodiment of all darkness. I mean, it's just one of those things that just exists. And to see it destroyed at the end, how it really gives me a bummer, because that's an easy storyline, you know, down the road if they wanted to do this storyline with the symbiotes. So, and I mean, it's something that was, you know, covered everything. Every single branch of the MCU was affected by it because of the fact that he was basically taking over the entire world because he was trying to get at Venom for, and I forget the main reason. Or he does get Venom, but I think he just kind of gets bored and was like, you know what? I'm just going to take over and turn everyone into my slave because reasons.
Okay. So that brings me to something else, is you kind of touched on it just now about another villain based on something we've already seen. Is it would be a lot better if we were already introduced to a hint of the villain in before this. I mean, I don't like the one and done villain arcs where we get a good villain and then by the end of the movie, they're dead. You know,
but our only good villains that we're going to end up getting are going to be the ones that are introduced through like some of the shows or hinted at in other movies. And in this case, this was never hinted at until this movie.
No, exactly. But what I mean is, you know, Hela, Killmonger, and now him, it's not too hard just to like have the character even touched on in a previous movie. So it's not just a one and done movie villain, but I did like the villain, and I liked the sword. I wish I knew more about it from the movie. But no problems with that.
I mean, I could be wrong, and there's going to be someone out there who's going to correct me. So I'm going to look it up really quick. Necro Sword. Marvel's. No, I don't want the cinematic universe. I just want the.
And so yeah. I'm assuming
10 Marvel weapons more powerful than the Necro Sword. So there are other things out there,
okay.
But the Necro Sword Let's see.
A cursed divine weapon.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and I see what you mean by null. Eldritch god of darkness and creator of the symbiotes. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, but and so then we get.
I guess maybe the Infinity Stones can do it. I'm going down this list of all the things that could possibly destroy it, and except what is it? Venom merged Mjolnir and the Silver Surfer's board to create the cosmic battle axe.
Wow.
Oh, I missed that part.
That would be something to see.
Yeah. So, but it's just this weapon that's just always, it's been out there, and I don't think it can be destroyed. Anyway, so let's keep moving while I'm doing this.
Yes, of course. So we get to the, you know, I guess the plot of the movie, which is, you know, Gorr wants to kill all gods because his, you know, because of what happened with his daughter, and the god didn't care. But his plan to get Thor is to kidnap kids because they knew Thor was going to care about the kids. So overall, that plan doesn't really sit right for me. Because it's like, well, do gods care or do gods not care? That's your whole reason that you want to kill them is because they don't care. But now you're saying this one cares. So so shouldn't he get a pass?
I mean, you're just looking at, you know, plot devices. That's what it is, plot devices.
Yes. Yes, not a fan of the plot device, but, you know, moving along. I also think that because movies take a while to make, I think when he first started doing this movie, maybe the screaming goats was funny. The old screaming.
Oh, my God. Those screaming goats made the movie for me.
Oh, my God.
Every time when they were just, we were just losing it. And I think the best part was whenever they rolled up on that planet and you thought it was in the distance and then they just ran into it. They're all like,
oh, my God.
It was so good. You know, hey. They were some of the best comic relief characters there. We're just gonna create things that's just gonna scream the entire time. Okay, I'm good with that. It's hilarious.
So you never saw the original screaming goat videos, then, I'm assuming.
No. I have. I know exactly what they're getting at with it. So to do something like that, you know, make these ethereal, you know, almost like godly powered goats, but then, you know, the only thing they could do is scream at you the entire time. Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
Nice. Okay. All right. And so, I guess we kind of covered everything as far as, sorry. What else did you, anything you really liked about the movie? Anything stands out?
I mean, I like the fact that, you know, that Jane actually died at the end. I mean, I really thought they were going to bring her back and no. They let her go, which, by the way, now we get to see Valhalla. So we have now seen a total of four different life after death realities in the MCU. We've seen Valhalla. We've seen the Sea of Reeds from
Moon Knight.
Moon Knight. There was, wow, brain fart I just had. Oh, my God. Where are the other two?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the other two. That's why I was.
No. We have seen them. MCU.
You're talking about the soul stone when Gamora died, or Tony, or the deleted scene where Tony saw his daughter?
No. I've come across this. It was every the place where the leaders from I can't think of the name of that location from Black Panther.
Yes, the Panther plane.
There's that one, and well, actually, technically, we've seen a Hell Realm now, but I mean, we didn't see anyone who died and went there.
Right.
Where is another one? Good God, man! I know that there's another one because I just found this thing here. I found the article just the other day. You know what? We're just whatever. We're at three so far.
But no,
there's a fourth one. I just can't think of what it is.
No, that's awesome. I didn't catch that, but Yeah, I mean, that's good stuff. I mean, clearly MCU believes in different versions of life after death, so it's always a good thing. Yeah, I really like Valhalla. I thought it was really cool to see that, and just seeing Heimdall come back and greet Jane. I liked every part of that.
Yeah, no, it was, and I like how, he was like, "Thank you for keeping an eye on my son." It was good. It was real touching, and just to show that, she made it there, even though she wasn't an Asgardian, or but oh, I did like the no, she was a space Viking, so that's the reason why she was allowed to get in.
Yes. Okay. Anything else stands out?
Let me see. Just gonna go down the Easter egg list that I looked up. I mean, our entire stories that were, basically all the stuff in the very beginning, like leading to like where Thor was. I just thought that was nice and silly.
Yes, it was.
Oh, the play, and then Matt Damon was in the play
Again,
again. That was
yes.
good. Of course, Darcy showing up. Always a pleasure to see Darcy. I like whenever they saw that gigantic dragon-like beast, and Thor was like, "Yeah, he was so much fun." that was a good one too. And then let me see, was there another one? Nope. I'm gonna leave it at that. I think that's a good place to end that. So, but if I had to give a, you, are we gonna do ratings on this?
Sure, why not?
I mean, if we're going to do ratings between, 1 to 10, I'm going to give this somewhere like a 6.5. Yes, it had its problems, but in the end, it did what it was supposed to do. It entertained me. I laughed. I didn't sit there the entire time and say, "This is a bunch of crap." And now, am I going to say it was a good movie? No, it wasn't like the top-notch, like it. The world, the MCU will still revolve without this movie, had this movie existed or not. I don't think it helps solidify anything at all except give him Mjolnir back. So, oh, that was another thing. I love the Mjolnir, like how she could send Mjolnir out in pieces and it would just shred people that come back to her. That was cool.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Sorry, derailed myself there. So, in the end, they with what it was, they did the best that they could do with the story. They tried to jam comedy in where they didn't necessarily need to have comedy, but I don't think that they really cheated on any of the story from Gore. So I can't really fault it and say that it was a bad that terrible or bad of a movie.
No, I agree. And here's what's funny is beat for beat, I did not like Valkyrie and Ragnarok. And the whole Thor being captured by her, that scene, just in general. And I've had problems with Valkyrie in the past just because I didn't like the actress when she showed up in Veronica Mars. I
Oh.
thought the show was always off whenever she showed up. So that's my own thing. And I try to move past that. So when she first showed up in Ragnarok, I didn't really have a pro. I had kind of had a problem with her. So all that to say is I get the belt that Ragnarok is the better movie, but I feel that this is a little bit more rewatchable for me. And so, out of the two, I think. So I will give this a 7.
I mean, the other movies don't have screaming goats.
And I like the battle at the beginning with the Guardians. I like the I think they called it omnipotence. I like that whole set piece and everything that storyline. So yeah, I mean, meanwhile, you got if you put it against Ragnarok, it's there's a lot of good stuff, but as a whole, I just rather watch this one again. So yeah, I'll give it a 7.
Awesome. Well, I'm still trying. Unfortunately, I can't find the end result on the Necro Sword because it is constantly going to the. Oh, wait, there we go. Earth 9. Earth, no, that's 199. So they switch places? Sorry, I kept on finding nothing but this movie, which doesn't help me at all because, yes, it just gets destroyed at the end of it. But I don't. Let me see. This all universe. Hell's Killer. Collector claims a Necro Sword. I mean, it's. I just think it's one of those things that's supposed to exist. Eddie Brock manifests a Necro Sword from a Codex Amalgam symbiote he bonded to kill Carnage. Because in the end, the Necro Sword, and I was reading this, is the first symbiote that was created.
Okay.
So that's why it's kind of a living thing. So he created the first symbiote, all black, which he wielded in the form of a black, red or black sword made of the living abyss. So that's where it kind of, you know, that's what you're dealing with. I mean, it's the abyss. It's kind of like how Magic has her sword from Limbo. It is a piece of that dimension or that realm or whatever. And yes, it's still a weapon. Yes, it's got powers and all, but in the end, it's connected to that realm, and so is the abyss. So the only way that, in my mind, that you can only destroy it is that realm would have to be destroyed, and you can't destroy the abyss, and you can't destroy Limbo. Please, someone, correct me if I'm wrong, because I need it if that's the case, because I know that I go on my tangents here.
and I would like to point out to everyone that for this podcast that you made the X-Men reference with Magic. I'm X-Men reference clean right now. But one other question. So I guess that the end credits show that, you know, Zeus wasn't killed by his weapon. But I mean, I know that the Hercules is just a red herring, correct? I mean, Hercules eventually joins the Avengers in the comics. I'm assuming the same thing is going to happen again. So it's not like he's going to be out for blood and try to kill him or anything.
Well, I mean, if anything, we're seeing everyone's replacements. So, everyone thought that Lady Thor was going to be Thor's replacement, but Jane dies at the end. But in the comic books, Thor runs around basically taking the, or not Thor, sorry, Hercules runs around taking the place of Thor in a lot of the scenarios with the Avengers whenever Thor's not there. I think that's what they're getting at here. Yeah, they're going to have some sort of confrontation at some point in time, but I think that that's more for, they're already putting the workings in place to be able to retire Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
But there is something that I read about this, and how the actor who played Hercules was kind of pissed off about this, because this entire end scene where, like, Chris Hemsworth and everybody else got to, like, bulk up and have plenty of time to do this, he got notified to play Hercules within like a couple weeks and only had a couple weeks to try and do anything to make himself look any more buff than he originally did. Because we know in the comics that Hercules is as ripped as Thor is. And this version of Hercules, yeah, he had some buff there to him, but he wasn't like Hercules. I want to say he was a Hercules standard. And that's the reason why is that, you know, whenever they did this movie, I don't know if this was an afterthought of adding him to the end or not, but they kind of dropped the ball in making him look the way they did. I mean, they didn't even go to the extent of like doing like a deep fakes and like editing him to make him look like he's even bigger than he should be.
But I mean, this will be rectified the next time we see him, because he's got time now. And I'm told, with the Boys, they did the same thing with blanking on his real name, Dean Winchester, when he showed up as Soldier Boy. They told him the previous October, he was saying on Jimmy Kimmel, they gave him the previous October, he was just, you know, they said, hey, we're going to put you in his costume and his outfit. And he said, hey, this doesn't fit. And they said, next year it will, because you're going to bulk up. And so, yeah, so I mean, he's got plenty of time between that and the next appearance, so nothing to worry about.
Well, unfortunately, I was not able to find what that fourth location is, and unfortunately, my brain is not with it right now to try and think of it. But I don't know. I'm sure that if I do think of it, I'll just bring it up on another episode somewhere.
Yeah, that's not a problem. We can always bring the references to the podcast universe together and call it out somewhere else.
Oh man, we're gonna have a lot of fun when we start rolling into X-Men series. I already see that.
That more fun you could possibly imagine for me. So yes.
Hey man, I only know as much as I do from the Marvel universe because of the X-Men. So
you and me both. And that was the first comic book series I got, and then of course that kind of was a gateway into everything else. And of course I have an X-Men tattoo, as some people know. And yeah, so I'll definitely be crossing the streams with the different universes once that comes back out, but or comes out rather. Well, I think that's about it. If anyone has feedback, tpenetwork.com/feedback. Once again, we always appreciate the feedback. And other than that, thanks for listening to us. I am Mel, and thanks for joining us, John.
Yep, thank you. But one last thing before we go, I just want to put this out there that TPE Network also is hosting a review on the Honorverse Today. The Honorverse Today series is a fan podcast providing review, commentary, and opinions on the Honor Harrington and Honorverse book series written by David Weber. To subscribe in your app of choice, head to tpenetwork.com/subscribe. And everyone, thanks. And Mel, thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thank you. Other than that, don't forget to check out our other podcasts in the podcast universe, Mouse House Plus and House of Dragons. And as John touched on, the Honorverse. Okay, everyone, thanks for joining us. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
TPE Network. There ain't nothing else like it.